What up, people? This is episode 197. This episode features just me and Bender, so fair warning. We're like a couple of kids with ADD talking pop culture. We go from topic to topic, from movie to movie, to TV, to comics, to everything, pretty quick. We don't spend too much time on anything, but we do talk about a lot of stuff. So, if that's your bag, not as many jokes in this one, but some might argue there's not a lot of jokes in any episode. Hopefully you like it. I know anytime Bender and I get a chance to just riff on nerdy stuff, we love it. So buckle up, enjoy this geek-centric episode with just the two of us, and we'll see you next week with episode 198. Enjoy. Here comes the bomb. Thanks.
Yeah, and I forget who directed it. Is it Rodriguez?
I don't know.
I think it was somebody unexpected. I'll look.
Yeah, look it up. It feels like an Ang Lee movie.
Yeah. I think there's two of them, right? Babe and then Babe, Pig in the City.
Yeah, Pig in the City was the follow-up.
Yeah, I never watched either one.
I never watched the Pig in the City, but I did watch Babe.
Oh, never mind. I was wrong. It's Chris Noonan. I don't really know that guy.
Baremu. It's a good movie. You'd like it. The kids might like it. Well, let Vera watch it. She might get down on it.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. We are back. And you just heard us talking about Babe, Pig in the City. We had to figure out who directed it. Who was
it? Turns out name? Chris Noonan. I don't know. I thought it was somebody famous.
Same name sounds familiar. Yeah. But I don't know. That said, before we jump into anything, because we got a few things to talk about, we're going to talk about your birthday celebration yesterday a little bit that I was only there for half of. We're going to talk about some movies that I've just recently watched and maybe some comic books since it's just you and I today. By the way, it's just me and Bender, no flop, no badger. But we have to start with what is hard to top
for the crazy.
Biggest death of 2020. I mean, 2020 come out swinging.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, as we record this, it was just released about an hour ago that Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter crash.
Yeah, six people, apparently.
There's mixed reports. Supposedly one daughter was with him.
See, I didn't get... I read the first thing, and that's all it said was he's definitely dead.
They have not confirmed. We know his wife was not with him.
Yeah.
Is the only thing we know. But that is unbelievable.
It's crazy.
I told Missy, I said, from the sports world, it's got to be like Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
I mean, well, active players like LeBron would be big.
Yeah.
But this is a shocking, 41 years old.
I know.
I was watching the players reacting today as they were warming up, how they found out. Kind of got me, when you walked in, I was a little teary-eyed.
Yeah. People die in accidents all the time. But when someone famous does, it's like, wow, anyone can go at any time.
Yeah. And so a guy that I play softball with, Moses, he is a helicopter mechanic. He said that helicopter very rarely crashes. It's a twin-engine, $20 million helicopter. Hmm. He goes, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah. But, so I guess thoughts on, with the family and the kids that did survive. However this shakes out. But, in Tom's death pool, this would have been a million points. Nobody would have had this one. But that is massively big. One more time, even Hayden didn't know who she was. She goes, is that the guy that you say his name when you shoot? Kobe.
Yeah.
So, for the Mamba. So it's a sad day in basketball, sad day in sports, sad day for people.
Yeah, he was a pretty well-liked guy. So
somehow,
yeah,
he was
despite all
guy.
The things that may or may not have happened.
But he dodged some pot mines, landmines. Yeah. So that said, let's jump right into yesterday. We were just talking, and you brought up a point about Third Wheel, which is a great brewery,
local brewery. Yeah,
That's where we for what 2-3 years now in a row we've done your start of your birthday.
Yeah, I like to start there, and
it's got room. It's got good food. Everybody can you're not a slave to your waitress because everybody goes to the bar, so you don't have to worry about that shit. I like that actually better.
That's the reason I picked it.
And I had to. We got there a little before you and some of your friends. Your neighbors got there, and they were sitting there. I goes, you guys have never been here, have you? And they're just like, no. And I said, there's no waitresses. You got to go to the bar. And they're like, oh, okay, perfect. You said though, and we'll get to the second part of your birthday, which I was not at here in a minute. But you said you love every beer there, and that's kind of where I wanted to start because I very much enjoy the beer there.
Mm-hmm.
The two or three that are on there year-round are great.
Yeah, they didn't have their dyslexic this time when we were there.
Yeah, the dyslexic API.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot.
The Hanging Patents is really good. It's a solid one.
It is solid. What I don't... And I love the brewery. In fact, I give the brewery a 5 out of 5 overall for the food. Maybe 4.5, if is what I'm going to give it. The location, there's plenty of room. There's fun things to do. The board games for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really sat and listened to bands, but they have bands. They have trivia. Cool things like that.
Yeah, they usually do bluegrass on Sundays, and I'm not a big bluegrass fan.
I like bluegrass.
It's okay.
In the background.
Yeah.
I don't go to a bluegrass show.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
When there's a guy playing the background, I recognize the skill that takes to play bluegrass. But I just wish the beer select. I wish they had a couple or more taps,
yeah,
or two. It doesn't change frequent enough. Like it seems like, with the exception of one slot,
yeah,
I'm always going to see 7 of the same beers there.
Yeah, they always have that. Well, like Hanging Pants, like I said, and they normally have the dyslexic API, and then
no pun's always there.
Yeah, no pun. Is that their porter? That's the porter.
No, no, that's St. Peter's porter. That's always
new.
There. No, they do variants throughout the year.
Okay, that was really good. I tried that last night.
Gumas good.
Yeah,
there was a Mexican chocolate stout that was pretty good. I had last night.
They had a Dunkel on tap there.
I should have tried the Dunkel, but that's
I wanted
just,
to too. I just forgot.
And it's hard for me to really put the finger on what I want different, but. Mm-hmm. The beer is just almost great to me. It's like very good.
See, I think everything I get is great. I understand your point of they don't do a lot of experimentation.
I guess you just don't see the menu mix up there. There's not that I mean, hey, Schlafly doesn't do it much either.
Yeah.
Only about like 4 taps.
Mm-hmm.
Narrow Gauge has just constantly got new stuff.
Yeah,
And their stuff, I love it too, but they don't have as much space or big taps. I mean, it's great. I don't want people to think I'm pooping on Third Wheel, but it's like there's something that just, it's almost a full 5 for me, but not quite.
I understand what you're saying. Like, and that's kind of why I like it, is I know I'm going to go there, and there's 3 beers that I'm going to love
on
tap,
everything
like,
you
guaranteed.
Can on. Yeah.
And, like, sometimes if you go down to, like, a side project or
you gotta
a place
watch
like
out.
That, you're walking in, and maybe they're going to have an IPA, or they're going to have 14 sours
that
I
hate. When you're going to Side Project or Perennial, which are massively critically acclaimed, you're getting all those wild yeast and
but even
sours.
Like sometimes
you just gotta avoid that.
Even sometimes like a Four Hands will have just like their the Ruination IPA will be on tap, and then everything else is weird stuff. And I'm like, that's the IPA I hate the most from you guys.
I'm gonna tell you, this is a hot take, and I like a lot of beers Four Hands does year round. Chocolate Milk Stout's one of my favorite. Absinthe Light's one of my favorite. I don't necessarily like the brewery as a whole, like when it first came out.
Like the location or just the beers themselves?
The beer selection is just...
I think Citywide is...
I love Citywide.
Like my favorite, like just easy
everyday
go-to
drinker.
Beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I always have Citywide in my fridge. And then this one that you're drinking now, the Skin and Bones, I thought that was pretty solid.
It's
brand new.
Yeah,
Hoppy
it's
Lager.
Good. But my, you know, if it's here next year, I'll be yay. But, you know, it's like... They'll have, they release a shit ton of different beers.
Yeah, they do.
And they do a lot of collabs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like their basic ones are the only ones that I really like. Like,
yeah.
This is a pretty, I don't like any of the you know, the crazy sours or anything they have of that. And I like, again, it's like with Four Hands with me, there's something that's holding me back from loving it.
What bothers me about them is the ones that they, rotate in and out are the ones I generally like more. Like, I mean, Citywide's always good, and this Skin and Bones, it's not going to be around forever, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah,
I think it was like Middle Finger or something was their low like session IPA, and I loved it, and you never get it anymore.
Yeah, see, they rotate too much. If
yeah,
that makes sense.
And then they just put out a new one. I bought it last week at the beer saw shop. Like a State IPA or something like that. It's a blueberry IPA.
Ah, see,
gross.
I can't do
gross.
That. Yeah, see, I don't just...
Blueberries don't taste good in beer.
Friend of the show, Nerdcast Jay, he made a lemon pepper something or another, Saison. I saw he brewed it yesterday, so shout out to Jay.
I saw him brew it. He posted or something.
Yeah, and he makes some good beers. This is not me pooping on him either, but I don't like... the older I get and the more craft is a thing, the less likely I am to try the crazy beers anymore. I don't.
Yeah.
I just like simple beer. I like IPAs.
Mm-hmm.
I like the New England, the Northeastern IPAs. I like stouts. I like. I don't need a lot of different fruits and flavors.
Yeah, I don't either.
Every once in a while, we'll find something we like that Hellboy maple syrup pancake one.
But I don't want to drink that all the time.
No, I just want beer.
I generally only do like stouts. Like I only do like one of those, or like a porter. Then I'll go back to and that's like at the end of the night. I'll have that as like the last beer or whatever if I'm sitting upstairs watching a movie. But I don't buy a six pack of porters and drink four of them.
Well, let's do one more tangent before we jump back to see how your night ended since I bailed on you. We were talking about breweries.
I'm used to it.
And I brought up Schlafly.
Uh-huh.
We haven't talked about it on the show yet, but since we posted it. But Trailhead, one of the long-standing, I would argue
25 years, I think I said.
25 years, and I would argue this. Trailhead is probably as responsible for Schlafly for people finding, understanding what craft was, certainly in St. Charles County, and some tourists.
Yeah.
Because it was a restaurant, you got micro-brew beers, they've even won a couple of golds at GABF.
Yeah, I'm not a huge... That's one of those other breweries, the same thing, that doesn't change out anything.
Well,
it's the same, like, four beers.
Yeah, they don't do anything different. Yeah. And their food, for me, over the years has went downhill.
Yeah, it's not great.
But if you guys don't know, if you didn't read, Schlafly has taken over. Mm-hmm. And if you read the article, it really comes off as, like, the guy was, like, holding all the cards and he was making the decision. I mean, I'm sure their offer was really good.
Yeah, I'm sure it was nice. And... he was retiring. I think it's cool that they're going out on their own. Like,
yeah,
it's not that they're losing business or whatever.
Done.
Not making money. He's just, I'm done with this. I'm 70-something years old. I want to quit.
And I'm fairly certain he's probably going to live off the chunk of change he's signed
for. Sure.
I didn't see what the total bill was, but I assume
it didn't say.
It's seven figures?
I would guess so.
Maybe a couple mil, you think?
What is it called? Schlafly Bankside,
or
I think?
Riverbank.
Is it Riverbank?
Yeah. Schlafly at Riverbank or something
like that. It's a cool location down there on Main Street.
The location's awesome. It's going to give us something to do for Christmases and things like that anymore.
Yeah, for sure.
In fact, it's probably going to be crazy busy for a while.
Have you ever been to the place next door to it? The brew house, I think it's called?
No.
It's down, you got to go down those stairs. That place has, it's all cans and bottles, but their beer selection is insane.
I need to go there.
And they have these, they call them they're like new potato french fries. They're like little baby potatoes that they fry.
Yeah.
Fucking great. Dude, it's like the best thing ever.
I'll have to do that. You know, I haven't eaten at a lot of places except for the places everybody has eaten down there.
Yeah.
I've had it Salt and Smoke there. It's okay.
I've never been there.
It's okay.
Yeah.
The one in, it's...
The one in the Loop is...
Oh, it's okay, too.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that one's about the same. The Rack House has a small location there, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And then just some of the other more popular places there at the end.
Q has surprisingly good food.
Yeah, every place is decent. But the Salt, for me, again, and this is me being...
picky.
Persnickative.
Maybe you are negative, Jeremy.
Yeah,
maybe you are.
But like the barbecue places have blown up such a big deal, and like and Sugar Fire and there's a trust me, there's some great barbecue out there.
Yeah.
But like Salt and Smoke's fine.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna stand out as a barbecue place anymore, you better do something 100%, 150% different than something I've had because they all kind of do the same thing.
Yeah, and like Sugar Fire's got. Like their signature is like their burnt ends or whatever, and they're really good. I don't know what Salt and Smoke.
And they have a million
salt?
Sauces.
Are they known for salt?
Yeah. And Sugar Fire has a million sauces, and they rotate those out, which is kind of an appeal. So, but yeah, I love it. But anyway, that said, how did Bocce Ball go down?
It was good. It was really busy up there.
Did you reserve?
Yeah, I reserved one court. There was a party that reserved the other two courts closer to the patio.
Because the first time we did it, you reserved one, and we ended up having two courts.
There was nobody there. But these people were there the whole night, just like we were. Played a couple tournaments. Me and my buddy Jason carried it for the most part. And then Mo and Kim came in and just fucking ran the table on everyone. Surgically good.
I can't remember who my partner was last time. But we beat everybody that first one.
Yeah.
Me and my partner. And I know we beat Mo and her partner. I can't remember who her partner was that year. But
Kim didn't even want to play. And, like, she was just 3-4 points every fucking time. I'm like, God damn it.
Well, it could be that she had less to drink.
Yeah, that's probably it. It was fun, though. It was a good time.
How many people ended up showing up? Because there was only...
There's like 10 of us, I think.
Well, because, yeah, so essentially you replaced the three that left with, yeah, with some more. Yeah.
Yeah, like Johnny and Andrea, Brian and Kim, Matt and Mo met us there. And I knew, they normally don't do the brewery thing because most of those guys aren't really into the craft
beers. Yeah,
they don't.
There's not a lot of beers
there
they like.
And I don't even think Third Wheels does mixed drinks, so...
They had something up on, like they had this year, I saw up on the keg, they had a pre-mixed Manhattan.
Oh, that's cool.
It was kegged, so, but.
That's hardcore, though.
Well, I guess for those that don't know, the bocce ball court, if you are, it's Aiello's.
Aiello's, I think is how you say it.
Aiello's.
Aiello's, whatever.
That's an Italian name.
Areola's.
It's Areola. In Cottleville.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a good time.
Dude,
so,
they got a great cigar selection there, and it's nice. And the owner hit on Rachel last night. That was fun.
Try
to buy her a drink.
Yeah.
Shiny shirt. Try to buy her a drink.
How old are you now?
36.
Oh, so you're 4 years away from the day.
Yeah, the big old guy day, I guess.
I will be...
You're 42?
I will be closer to 50 when you turn 40 than I am to 40.
Yeah. we're getting old, man. It's depressing.
I think 50... Are you going to keep having these birthdays every year up till you're 40? Yeah. You're kind of a big kid.
Yeah, and it's January... nobody's gone out since Christmas. It's always a fun excuse to get a babysitter.
So my 40th we had here.
Yeah, yours is in October, right?
November. My 35th, Missy did the big one.
Yeah, that was down at Schlafly.
Yeah, and in the city. And then my 40th, I had something here, and I did not have one for my 41st or my 40th. I'm done with them.
Done.
Like, it's just celebrate.
I just like going out. If people show up, they show up. If they don't, they don't.
Ah, that's not true. You and your guys like an excuse to
excuse to go out drinking.
Which you don't need. You
we
can
don't,
just do
but
it.
It's easier to convince all of my friends to get a babysitter if it's for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, everybody lines up a babysitter to go out for a birthday party
But do the other ones all have birthday parties?
No, it's just me, man.
it's just me.
I'm a giant fucking child. I love it.
That's all right. I stopped having them the last 2 years just because.
I don't know.
And to be honest with you, the reason I stopped having them, because we get the week or two before, and I tell my wife, I go, it sounds so exhausting.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Like, I woke up this morning, and I'm like, fuck. Why do I do this to myself?
I just want to do the, like, us and the kids. Let's go see a movie. Let's get drunk on our own. I wouldn't even be opposed to meeting you guys at, like, the Beer Sauce or something, but I'm definitely done with the party thing. Except 50. 50 is going to be a big one.
50 is a good one.
Maybe 45. I don't know.
My buddy's mom turned 60 next Saturday. I got to swing by that for a little while.
Oh, which buddy's that?
Tom Derleth.
Okay.
Actually, she turned 60 like 2 weeks ago.
I got a buddy named Todd whose mom turned 60 next week.
Yeah. I think they're brothers, maybe.
I think so.
They kind of look alike. If they're not brothers, they could be.
They could. They should be. And their names are the same.
Yeah.
All right. Let's. Enough of all that shitty talk about celebrities dying and the beer talk and your birthday talk.
Yep.
Let's talk pop culture stuff.
Okay.
You still haven't seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, right?
I have not.
All right, so we won't talk about that because I talked about it.
Did you enjoy it?
Man, it's top three of my Tarantino movies. I love it.
The reviews are super mixed because everything I read was either everybody was like, I love it, or it's really boring until the last 5 minutes.
The people that say it's really boring are the same people that don't like some parts of Inglourious Basterds.
It's the dialogue.
Well, but he lets actors act.
Yeah.
And they chew. Even the scene where Sharon Tate, played by Margot Robbie, is at the theater watching a movie or stuff, it really, in the grand scheme of things, plays no bearing in the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
But she acts her ass off without saying a word. And
that's what I love about Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm telling you, Brad Pitt and DiCaprio pull I think this is a better performance out of DiCaprio than it was in The Revenant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he better than he was in Django? Because he was pretty good in Django.
He's pretty good in Django. And this is... You know what? They're similar characters in terms of the angst that's inside them. But this one, he's likable in this.
Okay. Yeah, he did such a good job of being an unlikable guy in Django.
But Brad Pitt's fucking nails in this.
Yeah.
And he plays essentially, as Tarantino calls it, the toughest guy in the world.
Really?
And that's what he is. Okay. He's a badass.
That's awesome.
Well worth watching. But I watched something this morning, and it was from last year. And the only reason I watched it is because I was looking at my time hop on the Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how it shows you what you posted a year ago. And this time a year ago, I was wrapping up my list of 10 underrated movies.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I closed.
That was a fun game.
And I closed with Smoking Aces. And someone said, I was watching a movie on Netflix called Polar. That's a lot like Smoking Aces. So yeah. I watched Polar this morning.
I watched that. It's a comic book. It's a French comic.
Yeah, it's made, a Dark Horse released it here.
Yeah, it's Mad Milkinson or whatever his name is. Mad something
oh, the,
or
the
another.
Actor. The actor. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, weird dude
yeah.
in every movie he's in.
Yeah, he's the guy who like bleeds blood and or cries blood in Casino Royale.
Yeah. Awesome movie, I thought.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good time.
It got
the finger guns thing was yeah. crazy.
It got panned by the critics, and I looked up some of them after,
mm-hmm.
and because I could see where people were like, well, this is just a John Wick ripoff, but it's not.
No, I think it's technically the comic is older than John Wick. Yes. I read the comic. It was okay.
Yeah, I mean, in the comic book world, we can have multiple characters that are badasses.
Yeah.
We can in the movie world, too.
Yeah.
I thought it was an enjoyable movie.
Yeah, I had a good time with it. I don't know if I'll ever watch it again. It's a Netflix movie, I think.
The if you're going to watch it again after you... Yeah, it is a Netflix movie. After you see the things, or after you know everything that happened, at mm-hmm. least fast forward into the great boobs that they put
in. Oh, yeah, yeah. They do a good job with the sex scenes on that one.
What a, that one girl on the team of killers,
yeah.
her whole job is to go seduce them?
Yeah.
Well,
that's how it is in the comic book, too.
And then in the movie, or in the, later in the movie, when she actually, the Black Kaiser, which is the name of him, when she seduces him, they have that marathon sex romp at every position you could.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
so weird, like, to do that. And, like, as an actor, you're like, that's got to be the most awkward thing ever.
But gory, and I could see the comparisons to Smoking Aces because there's the way they type out everything, the names and stuff.
But I haven't watched that movie in a long time.
It's
that was
great,
a good one.
Great movie. I watched it about 2 months ago again.
John Wick 3 is on HBO. I'm going to try to watch that tonight.
Worth it.
Yeah.
I liked it better than 2.
Did you? Okay.
I still don't know if it was 1. I mean, 1 is a...
1's awesome.
1 is a hard 5 out of 5.
2 was a little ridiculous. I didn't mind it, but...
Oh, this one's ridiculous.
But, I mean, like, the long fight with Common, I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's wrap this shit up.
You know what? I hope Common is back in the 4th one.
Yeah, because he stabs him on the train,
but
if I remember correctly. But he walked away. So, I mean, that's...
Well, no, not only does he do that, but Lawrence Fishburne's character said that the only person to ever sneak up on him was John Wick, and he gave me this, but he left me to live, and that's what he did to Common.
Yeah.
He showed him that he could have killed him, but he left him to live.
Is Lawrence? This is the first one he's been in, right? 3. He wasn't in 1 and 2, was
he? No, well, Lawrence Fishburne was in 2.
Was he?
Yeah. He goes to him to get one gun.
That's right. That's right. It's been a while.
Yeah, and he's not in 3 anymore, but he's more important in 3 than he was in 2.
Is Halle Berry a throwaway character, or is she going to carry on into 4?
She could, but I don't see... She, spoiler alert, but she runs the hotel in her town.
Okay.
And because they're all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I mean, great movie.
I can't wait. I watched.
But if the first one's a 5, the second one's maybe a 4.
Okay.
And this one's like a 4.5.
Okay. I would do, if the first one's a 5, I would do 3.5 for the second one.
And this one might end up in a 4 for you.
I'm going to try to watch it today.
It's worth it.
Yeah. I watched Godzilla, King of Monsters.
I watched that on a flight to Minneapolis. I watched half of it on the way there and half of it on the way back.
I did. It was fine.
It's a good movie.
It's good. It's a good time.
It's a giant monster movie. If you want more than what you get in that, you're the one.
I kind of liked the eco-terrorist vibe. I think the humans, the worst part is the humans are just not that interesting, but the eco-terrorism vibe was an interesting take.
Even putting 11 in it.
Yeah.
Not so much.
She didn't even do anything.
No. I mean, the point is to see the monsters kick ass.
Yeah, and I guess that's my only real complaint is I think they made him too big. It bothers me that they're that large.
Well, he's that big in the original movies.
Is he?
He's 360 something feet
tall. I think he's bigger than that, though.
Well, he gets bigger depending on the film, that's for sure.
And I don't like... I guess the next one, I looked it up, it's done... filming, I guess, the main characters, but it's him versus King Kong.
Yeah. King Kong has to grow.
Yeah, and apparently the Kong Skull Island, which I thought was a fun movie.
I thought it was too.
He was apparently just a adolescent in that one, and he's got to get a lot bigger. But
if
he gets any bigger, he ain't going to fit on the fucking island.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's no doubt.
Yeah. But it was a good time. It was worth watching.
Yeah. I mean, Yeah, they did a good job.
It's better than the first Godzilla, which I
liked it too,
liked it at first, and then I watched it again, and I was like, man, this is really fucking boring.
I still like it. I've seen it a couple times. I still like it.
I didn't care for it as much. I thought Kong Skull Island was fun. Movie that I did watch and I hated was Six Underground. It was fucking stupid.
Oh, I liked it. I liked it. It was again, it's not deep.
No, it's not deep. Like, and the thing I think that drove me the most nuts is that parkour guy.
Yeah, I could see that.
And he's like, first off, parkour is stupid. But like, if you're,
it seems like a sport that's got, if you're a participant, you have a short shelf life.
Two things really bother me in the movie. Let me go back real quick. Spoiler alert. The driver guy, what's his name?
Dave Franco
dies.
And that's not a spoiler. That's like 7 minutes into the movie.
But he's their driver, and they replace him with a sniper. Like, don't you need a driver?
Because it turns out a couple of them could drive.
So that bothered me. Like, it doesn't make any sense how you're recruiting these people. And then the other thing that bothered me was with the parkour guy. It was really stupid. And, like, that fight scene where he's running away from all the bad guys, like, your whole thing is parkour. That's how you get away. But everybody else keeps catching you.
Well, they take the normal treks, and he's doing all the jumping.
He's jumping all over the place, and they're still there.
I'll give you that. That's it. I did think it was kind of a cool twist with the magnets.
Yeah.
That was
a cool twist. Yeah. Also, Ryan Reynolds is just a bad dad in that movie.
He's a bad person in general,
Like, he's just a deadbeat father. He's like, oh, my God, this girl pregnant. I'm dead.
Yeah,
it was dumb.
I enjoy it. I didn't give it. It wasn't like it's more like a 2.75 out of 5. God, it was just over the halfway point for me.
I like halfway through it. I'm like, why am I fucking watching this still?
I watched. What else did we watch? Oh, we watched Zombieland 2 last night. Which, you know, Zombieland 1's great.
It is great.
Zombieland 2, it's not as good, but it's still very good. But what it did was take everything about Zombieland that you liked, and then tripled it. like tripled the rules.
But it's not too much though.
Well, that might be the fallback, but they really, well, I mean, there's
just
some,
amp it up.
Yeah, because they run into some lookalikes,
Luke Wilson's in it.
Thomas Middleditch.
Okay.
And Thomas Middleditch has his commandments for survival instead of his rules for survival. And there's a couple of parts in it that is real good. Like there's one where like, isn't it crazy that the electricity just still works? Because it's a couple years later. And,
that's pretty good.
And Woody Harrelson goes, yeah, it's a throwaway fix. It's like, wow, all those hydroelectric plants, those dams, as long as the rivers are flowing, we still get electricity.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Something else that I did watch that we both watched, and I enjoyed more than I thought I was, is I really liked the new Hellboy.
Yeah, like I said, the only negative I had about it is Hellboy is the off on it. He's not my favorite part of it. Like, the way David Harbour moves or...
Yeah.
It's just something different. But
I thought he was... See, I disagree. I thought he was okay, and I think the biggest problem with the movie is they picked a weird Hellboy story to tell. Like, I read The Wild Hunt, and it's fucking weird. It doesn't feel like a Hellboy comic book to
me.
Well,
it's...
And they almost, like... page for page put that on the screen for the most part.
It's a little bright also for a Hellboy story, like the filming and stuff. I don't, it was a
the monsters at the end were so fucking stupid though.
That
whole, I thought Mila Jovovich was a good bad guy. She just can't do a movie that's successful at all, which is kind of her fault.
Dazed and Confused, she did all right there. I don't remember if
what is the one with Bruce Willis, I'm blanking on it. Stargate.
She was in one with Bruce Willis. What was she in with Bruce Willis?
Where she's the orange haired chick.
Oh, Fifth Element.
That's
a perfect sci-fi.
Yeah, it's
movie.
A great movie.
Yeah, that's there's nothing. I mean, that's almost at the top of the food chain for sci-fi. It's up there.
But that's like, I think, the only great movie I think she's ever been in.
Yeah, I don't remember how well received her Joan of Arc movie was.
I think it's her fault though, because she married W.S. Anderson.
Yeah, who makes all those movies and puts her, like, all those Resident Evil movies.
Yeah, and they're all fucking awful.
Talking about a reboot for that.
Are they?
Yeah,
I'd be okay with that.
Be okay.
I think they should take it at
TV
more of the horror element.
Or
it'd be great as a TV series. I replayed the they re-released Resident Evil 2, and I was playing that for a while. It was a good time, but. They didn't really change the game mechanics.
Is that Nemesis? Is that Resident Evil 2's Nemesis?
I think that's the third one. Or that might be a spinoff. Resident Evil 2 is the one where you get Leon and I think Claire.
Yeah, I think there was Resident Evil 2, and I think there was a special edition of it where they dropped the Nemesis robot into the thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think like that's where the Nemesis monster comes in. But I thought Nemesis was its own game.
There was a shooter game that was a spinoff, that's which was awful.
Yeah. But it was at the time, that game was pretty groundbreaking with the double story. Like, you had two discs, I think it was, like on PlayStation, and you played one side and the other. And I was playing it, and the graphics look great, and it's still so fucking hard and so fucking frustrating.
Yeah, because that's really the first game where you definitely. I mean, more than any other game before it, you had to conserve ammo.
Oh, yeah. And that's the problem. Like, and that's, I stopped playing because I got stuck in a spot where I didn't conserve ammo, and I have to go back too far, and I'm like, fuck it. I got other shit to do.
I was looking at, like, I was cleaning up out here and doing some things, and I saw, I was like, oh, we've got Zelda for the Switch. I need to finish that. And I realized, why did I stop playing? And I remembered, oh, I got to one of the bosses, these big machines at these bosses, and I couldn't get past it because I didn't put enough into my electrical defense. So I just stopped playing it. So I'm like, oh, I should just start all over.
Yeah, yeah, it's just easier. I'm playing, I picked up Red Dead Redemption on...
Two or one?
The second one. On.
I hear that sometimes can be really difficult.
It's fun, and it is very difficult because I don't play games like I used to. Like, I maybe get...
I can't.
Maybe get 2 hours a week if I'm lucky.
If it's a game that very, very much grabs me.
Yeah.
Like Diablo 3, I picked one of those up, and I just... I woke up every morning at 6 before my family on the weekend and played like a couple. That'll be like how I get through it. But if it doesn't like really put its hooks in me, I'm like you. It's like an hour a month.
Yeah, and it hasn't gotten me there yet, but apparently it's a slow burn. What frustrates me about it is I don't play it enough to remember all the buttons all the time. So,
oh, yeah.
And it's so easy to accidentally shoot somebody.
Yeah, because that's one of the critiques of it. Yeah. They said you try to make friends with a villager or a
and I fucking shoot him. So I
catching your horses, they say, sometimes a pain.
Like I killed this like legendary creature or whatever. It's like a big ass bear, and like it's worth a whole bunch of money. And I go to the butcher to turn it in, and I went to hit L1 to turn it in, but I accidentally hit R1 and shot the guy in the face, and I lose the bear after that. I'm like, son of a bitch, I quit. I'm done. Yeah, I got pissed.
That's painful.
Yeah. And the other thing that sucked is I bought it online.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'm going to play this. And then it goes to download, and I couldn't play it for 12 hours. It took to download. I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous.
Anytime we get, like, sometimes there'll be a big patch update or something, and Hayden will be like, oh, I got to download the patch before I play. And it'll say 4 hours. And she's like, she doesn't curse, but she'll be like, God damn it! I'm storming upstairs.
Jeremiah got the other thing I'm playing is Jedi Fallen Order. I enjoy the shit out of that.
You know what, though? That's the thing, too, about your download thing. Sometimes you even buy the game.
Yeah.
And if it's been out a couple months, there's already a two-hour patch to download.
It's fucking awful.
It's ridiculous.
But Jedi Fallen Order is a lot of fun, and it's good Star Wars lore.
I've been finding myself after Rise of Skywalker and Mandalorian really wanting something to scratch that Star Wars itch. And it's probably going to be like Clone Wars and all that stuff.
You should. The game's fun.
Or the comics.
You should read the comics. You can get most of them on Hoopla.
Yeah, and I told you that I just shotgunned and reread 100 Bullets.
Mm-hmm.
And I was real close today. I got one more download this month, and I was real close to making it the first 6 issues of Star Wars for Marvel.
The Marvel Star Wars run is a lot of fun. Even the character runs themselves are good, like the Leia story. The Han Solo comic is he's in a race. He's got to do some stuff for the thing, but the whole time is he's using a race as his cover, and it's a fun read.
Are you like me? Are you badly wanting a different part of the galaxy?
Yes.
Like a different story?
Yeah.
I don't mind Jedis.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, too. Here's what they got to do. They got to fight the urge of making every character more powerful than the last. So every time they tell a new Jedi story, it's like, well, this person's so...
Yeah.
Just tell a story with it. We don't all have to be, The Rock. You know, sometimes you can have a lesser wrestler come out and perform,
Exactly.
I mean, that's all I want.
If you want something different, you should read the Dr. Aphra run.
Isn't there a new one coming, too?
New Dr. Aphra?
Yeah, I think I just saw the ad for a new series coming.
Yeah, I think she's getting a second, like a reboot, like a new number one or whatever.
Well, yeah,
I think
a sequel. It's just a sequel. Because you tell us it's a short, a series of miniseries.
Yeah, and she is she's basically an Asian Indiana Jones, but has no...
That's what you said, yeah.
She has no...
allegiances?
Empathy. And she doesn't really have any allegiances either. So, like, she'll she'll use a guy and leave him for dead on the planet type situations. And in her book, there's an evil C-3PO and evil R2-D2.
Yeah.
Fucking, they're hilarious.
She's like Serenity, Malcolm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's worth a... That's my favorite character.
By the way.
Out of this new stuff.
They are big time teasing that Fox has opened a reboot for Serenity.
It's never going to happen,
not a reboot,
man.
But a redo. You know what? Just
I guess I can't say never.
Give me a miniseries.
Yeah, just something. Do like another Serenity movie.
Or give me more comics. Something. Yeah. I just want the characters.
The movie was enjoyable.
Yeah,
I actually watched the movie before I finished the whole show. Because
Nathan Fillion needs to get back on a treadmill before he comes back.
He's got that show Rookie. Right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. He got a little big on Castle.
Yeah, he did get a little chubby on Castle.
He started being more thumb-like than he used to be. He needs to get back to Pinky.
Yeah, he did get a little heavy there. He is a guy that has a solid career. Like, when a show ends, he's on another one, like, right away.
He's Bruce Campbell. Yeah. He's the Bruce Campbell sequel. I mean, Bruce Campbell existed to fulfill all geek genre. I mean, he went from The Evil Deads to Briscoe County to Ash versus the Evil Dead, and he even had that Burn Notice, which was a
Burn
solid
Notice was
show.
A fun show.
It was a really good show.
It was so, like, every episode was a throwaway episode. It was great.
Here's how you know it was a really well-written and constructed show. It was great in spite of having a piece of cardboard as its star.
Yeah, that guy's a terrible actor
in
everything else.
Yeah.
He was pretty good in that, though.
He was good in Hitch. He gets beat up by Hitch.
Oh, yeah, because he plays the asshole. Yeah. The only other... He was in a movie with, I think it was Angelina Jolie, where he plays a cop. Like, her kid gets kidnapped or something.
Oh,
and I'm like,
yeah,
man,
yeah.
He's fucking terrible.
She's
in
got,
this.
Like, curly hair in it.
Yeah,
stuff.
It's
yeah.
weird. It's like set in the 20s or something.
Yeah.
It's not worth watching.
It's borderline blackface what she's playing in the movie. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's a weird movie. But, yeah, that show was fun. The only... I always thought that girl was not very attractive, though.
Who?
Like, the lead...
Oh,
his girlfriend
Burn Notice?
In it. Yeah, in Burn Notice.
She was all right.
Yeah. She like too skinny, I think. I don't know. But I loved that show. It was a good time.
But yeah, so that's another guy that got a little too thick to return as Ash.
Yeah. I
retired at. Oh, he was also in Bubba Hotep, which was a quiet masterpiece also.
And he was in all the Sam Raimi Spider-Mans. He'd show up as a different character.
Yeah, because and Sam were college buddies.
I need to go back, and I don't really remember the first Evil Dead or Ash vs. Evil much. I need to go back and like actually just
I never
watch
watched
them.
The whole series. I watched the first season.
No, I'm talking about the movie, Evil Dead 2.
Well, it was Evil Dead 2, and then Army of Darkness.
That's what it is.
Yeah, Ash versus Army of Darkness.
I haven't seen those probably since I was
We watched them in Halloween a couple years ago.
Is the first one a straight-up horror movie?
Yes.
Because I watched the remake, and I did not enjoy it.
Oh, see, I liked the remake with the girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
It was okay.
It didn't have Bruce Campbell.
It was a little too gory. And yeah, it felt... too serious.
He should have been an old guy at a gas station or
something. Yeah. Like some crazy man or whatever.
Let's see what else we've done of late. We watched all of the Aaron Hernandez thing on Netflix.
Yeah. It's on my list. I keep wanting to pull the trigger on it.
I mean, I don't know what, there's not much in it you'll get out of it.
Do you feel bad for him?
No, he's a murderer.
Well, I mean,
listen. There's a lot of guys that have gotten CTE. Junior Seau committed suicide. Chris Benoit, the wrestler, was a really bad one.
Did he have a tragic childhood?
A little bit. He didn't have great parents.
Yeah.
And he also was a guy that was fighting his sexuality. Yeah, that's true.
Now, oh, really?
There's been some flack coming out for the high school quarterback that says he was the guy that hooked up with him. Apparently, the real guy that everyone knew in high school that was hooking up with him on the side says that they never did, and they're after the fame. Because the quarterback...
See, I didn't know that at all.
Because him and his dad are on this, and they're the most polished, soundbitey people on the show. Like, intentionally.
Okay.
And then they're also on another one that's on, like, A&E or whoever does those things. And they're a little too well.
Their story's too well rehearsed.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that he was closeted.
Yeah, but I mean, he killed people.
Yeah, I mean,
though, I will say this: they do a good job of presenting all the facts and some of it.
He kill his like brother-in-law or something?
Yeah, he killed him.
Yeah,
he may not have killed those other two people.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't a good guy. But, I mean, like, the way, at least the preview, it almost makes you feel bad for him. But then I was kind of wondering if that's what you get when you walk out
of it. I found myself feeling bad for him in some parts. Mm-hmm. But then I also found, he killed a person, for sure.
You're not a good guy.
And there was, I can't remember what, there was a basketball player or something in the NBA, or a pro athlete right now that refused to be in it. And he said, I'm not, because I don't know what he had connected to it, but he's like, I'm not going to be in it because they're making it seem like CTE was one of the reasons.
Yeah.
He was a killer, yeah. is what the guy
said.
He was
a killer. Dude. Yeah. Just having to be good at football.
Wasn't necessarily a great person. Yeah. You know?
Well, that's like, right now, I guess Antonio Brown's like, I don't think that guy's ever going to play again because he's crazy. Losing his shit.
There is an interesting story out there that has, so there's a guy, I can't think of his name. He's a real bad cheap shot artist for Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay.
And Antonio Brown got KO'd by him one year and missed a few games with a concussion.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that have said there's been two Antonio Browns, pre-concussion Brown, mm-hmm. post-concussion Brown.
Really?
In fact, Antonio Brown took it out a couple years later, had a chance to get retribution on a blindside block, mm-hmm. and got in trouble for a head leading with the head,
okay.
and he was getting back at him.
Yeah.
This guy, by the way, for Cincinnati, I can't even remember if he still plays for him. He's a piece of shit. He gets flagged every year.
Yeah.
In fact, I think he was suspended the entire year this year after week one or two.
Like Dominic Sue or whatever.
And Dominican Sue. He does dirty things. Like
he does,
guys are
stomping on their hands
this,
and shit.
This guy makes himself a projectile missile on the blindside. Yeah.
That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. And gets in trouble a lot. But yeah, I mean, Antonio Brown throwing rocks.
He's trying to fight like his trainer was beating people. Like he's been on the trying to fight that. Wasn't he trying to fight the YouTube star kid too?
Oh, Logan Paul.
Yeah, weren't they gonna fight or something? Like they got into a Twitter spat back and forth. And he's like, let's box then.
And Logan Paul said, "I'll drop you quicker than the Patriots did."
I mean, it's pretty funny. I don't know if Antonio Brown is an actual athlete.
Well, so Brendan Schaub, who's a stand-up comic, former UFC fighter. Host of The Fighter and a Kid and Below the Belt. He is, he played in the NFL and he was a UFC fighter. And he said, Logan Paul's swole and he's getting good training.
Yeah.
And he was a high school all-state wrestler.
Yeah.
He goes, but Antonio Brown is an NFL player and he constantly tells people, you don't know what you're talking about. When you talk about what an athlete is, every time somebody goes, well, that guy's a good, because you ever met so-and-so, he's a good athlete.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, he's not. He may be a good athlete in your world. He goes, but Antonio Brown is a great athlete compared to other great athletes.
Yeah.
He goes, he will light up.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Paul.
He's fast as shit and strong as like just dumb muscle.
And Logan Paul though that kid is swole.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
As he gets. And he is trained by Shannon Briggs, the former heavyweight champ of the world.
One of his fights against some like
you
European.
Watched the first no KSI the other
is
YouTuber.
That the the other YouTube kid.
And in the rematch,
he's like British or something, right?
Yeah, and in the rematch, KSI won, but it was also a ripoff.
Yeah,
because they deducted Logan got for hitting KSI with holding his head and hitting him.
Oh, okay.
He did it once, and the guy took 2 points from him. That is unheard. First off, you get a warning.
Yeah.
The second one, if they want to, they deduct a point. They deducted 2 points from him with no warning, and he lost the fight by 1 point.
Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah, so that was
I watched it with Jeremiah, because when he was into that, now he has no interest in that. But
yeah, my girls quickly lost interest in the Paul brothers.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Speaking of fighting, though, that McGregor fight last week, 40 seconds.
Yeah, and there was Joe Rogan and Stephen A. Smith have went back and forth on the Twitters. Stephen A. Smith, he shouldn't be allowed to cover MMA. He doesn't know MMA.
Yeah.
He released a video, too, like a few months back of like putting in work, and it's, that light has gone nuts.
Yeah, it's driving me crazy. I'm going to have a seizure here.
You go turn it off and hit that one if you
it's
want.
All right, it's fine.
But he released a video, Stephen A. Smith, of himself doing boxing training, and it is not just bad punches. But some of the worst punching you'll have ever seen. But anyway, he goes in hard on Cerrone. Your performance was atrocious. You should be ashamed. You're embarrassing. He was fighting. A lot of people sleep on McGregor because of all the bullshit that comes with him.
Yeah.
He's
a tough dude.
Well, the only critique of Conor McGregor that should ever be said is Conor McGregor has never defended any belt he's ever won.
Yeah.
That's
doesn't
a
he just get him taking him away?
He gets a belt and goes and tries something else.
Yeah.
He's never defended it. But he's beat a laundry list of exceptional fighters. And what happened was, in 40 seconds, He broke Cerrone's nose with a very inventive shoulder strike.
Shoulder hit. Yeah, I tried to watch it, and they've really shut that shit down. You used to be able to catch it on, like, Twitter.
Yeah, Periscope, you can still find it if you look it up. Yeah. Okay.
I just tried to watch the recap.
Not that we condone
No, I don't. I just wanted to watch, like, the recap, and it's not out there.
The best place I've ever found to find the next day is on Facebook.
Yeah, and I was looking there, too. I didn't see anything. Yeah, normally it's like some guy videotaping it, but they shut that shit down.
But, yeah, he broke his nose, and that takes you out of your game, right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And then if people think that he was malice, some people have suggested that Cerrone took a dive. He has a broken orbital bone, a broken nose, and a broken jaw.
Really? All from that fight?
That kick tattooed him on the side of the face, and those punches were legit. And even though Conor's not a 170-pounder, everybody was like, well, he should fight Usman for the... No way.
Really?
Usman is a giant man compared to McGregor. McGregor needs to go back to 155, have the greatest pay-per-view of all time for UFC when he rematches Khabib Nurmagomedov. Yeah. But... You sleep
on
him.
Did you buy the fight?
No, I just watched it illegally. You just sleep on him because of all the antics, but you forget his striking is otherworldly for MMA. He's the best striker we've seen since Anderson Silva, and probably up there on par with the guy that's currently fighting named Israel Adesanya, who's the current 180-pound champ, 185-pound champ, who's constantly teasing a move up to fight John Jones because they don't like each other.
Yeah.
Also, big mistake.
John Jones, isn't he like the best fighter ever?
205. Yeah, he's the greatest mixed martial artist of all time. He's got a lot of asterisks because
he's been flagged for getting cocaine busted.
Well, no, he's been flagged
for
very minute. Well, so here's the problem with John Jones is he was doing coke.
He got suspended again, right?
And he was doing dick pills. No, he's not suspended right now.
Okay.
He's been suspended a couple times. So he's doing coke. And they say when you do coke prolonged, you have a hard time getting some wood.
Mm-hmm.
So he's taking over-the-counter dick pills, which are often cut with steroids because they're mixed in the same batches.
Yeah.
So he tested positive out of competition for a steroid, very minute, and he got suspended. Well, then the next year, he also won his fight again, and he got tested positive for, I could be mistaken what it's called, but like a microbe.
Mm-hmm.
To give you an idea... what he tested positive for was 1,000 times smaller than the head of a needle.
Oh, wow.
What has happened, they found out, and they've since changed what constitutes a failed test.
Yeah.
Because testing is so fucking good now that if you took a steroid 12 years ago,
they could still
get like a minor fraction of it. So they stopped doing it. Stopped doing that. But yeah, there's a lot of asterisks with him, but he's the greatest mixed martial artist.
Yeah, I mean, he's a crazy good fighter. It's just
flashback to Brendan Schaub. He says the problem John Jones has had three kind of subpar fights of late is because he's playing with his food. He's beating all the best of the best.
Yeah.
He's on top of, and he has a hard time getting up for the names that are coming up. So it's just him playing with his food.
Yeah.
He goes, he's eventually going to devour it, but sometimes he just bats it around a little bit.
Yeah. I read an article in The Atlantic on Joe Rogan, and I'm not a big Joe Rogan fan. I don't really understand him, but...
And I love the guy.
I don't... He's hard to pin down. Like, he... And the article was pretty interesting. It was basically about how popular he is and how people, kind of like me, basically, that, you know, write him off as one type of guy, and he's not.
Oh, no. He's the most middle-of-the-road guy in the world. A celebrity there is.
Yeah. And then, like, and that was the thing. Like, his audience is pretty... pretty bro-ish and like almost, and everybody kind of thinks that they're all kind of Trumpian, and then he made some waves this week when he came out and said he was going to vote for Bernie.
Yeah, he and there was a libertarian, a female libertarian who he's been really supporting, but she dropped out. So he's
an interesting dude. I read the article.
He hates Trump.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to get into the politics, but what I found interesting about it is like you just can't really narrow him down. Like, he'll have...
He's friends with Jordan Peterson. He's actually has called Milo...
Yovanovitch or whatever.
Yeah, his friend.
He's friends with Alex Jones, too, which kind of throws me off.
But he
apparently backed off after he started getting into the whole Sandy Hook denial thing.
Yeah, well, he himself on his show has said, I'm friends with these people because I actually know them.
Yeah.
And I know, like, with Alex Jones, he said a million times, he goes...
That's a performance.
He goes, it's a performance. He's a good person when you meet. He goes,
I find that hard to believe.
But he even said, he said to your point about him, he goes, he's making it hard.
Yeah.
He's really been, yeah. And he says he hasn't talked to him in a long time.
Yeah. And I thought it's worth a read going to the Atlantic. It did make me want to listen to his podcast a little bit.
I love his podcast. And his episode with Bernie Sanders, it was great.
Yeah.
And what's great about his podcast, and I listen every time there's a comedian on there, I listen.
Okay.
It's all his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. And he even doesn't he's at a position with his net worth and his fame and stuff.
Yeah.
He doesn't even let comedians get away with BS. Like, he's like, if they try to do something, he's like, okay.
Yeah.
That's one way of looking at it.
Yeah.
I do listen when he has a lot of, like, he'll have like some deep cover, like CIA people on, like retired. He had the guy that says he was at Area 51 on.
Yeah, that guy.
And
yeah.
Joe believes him. He goes, you know what? I'm not saying I necessarily believe him, but I believe he.
That guy's that's a crazy story that guy tells. Have you listened to it?
Yeah, and he keeps getting proven over time.
Yeah.
All the machines that he said they had eventually became public knowledge.
And then, like, I forget what, he had something and they took it away from him, apparently. Like, he had some sort of alien technology and they.
Well, he also was a graduate of MIT, and they went and discredited
him. They've undercut like all of his academics and everything.
But people have found pictures of him at MIT. They're like, no.
Dude, it's a wild story.
Yeah, and they've said this. This is funny. I think
he's got a Netflix thing.
There's a show. He did the same guy that came on the episode of the JRE was the guy that directed the thing.
Okay.
Because the guy doesn't like talking to people.
Yeah.
He came on the night before, and they all went out and ate together just to get comfortable before he would be on there.
Is Joe Rogan in California?
Yeah, he's in LA.
Okay.
He recently had Dan Aykroyd on there. It was great. He had Bill Maher on last week. And
yeah. The article I read, the guy was like, I couldn't get him to sit down for an interview with me.
He won't do it.
Yeah. And he goes, so I just listened to a lot of his episodes, and then I tried to live like Joe Rogan's life, like that mushroom coffee that he drinks and all this other stuff. And he goes, bottom line is that guy is a machine. And he's exhausting. Like, he just never fucking stops, like, doing
they
things
talk
or
about
thinking.
It. His best friends call him a cyborg. His best friends are essentially Brendan Schaub, Brian Callen, Joey Diaz, Tom Segura, Bert Kreischer. Those are his best friends.
Yeah.
And and Ari Shaffir. That's his crew. That's the Brian Redband. That is I can't remember what their clique's name is, but that's his crew. And they said, he's a machine. Like, they have the Sober October Challenge.
Yeah.
And one year it was you had to get your heart rate, you got points awarded for how long your heart rate was above a certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
Joe went so hard one day in 6 hours of working out that his steam from his sweat set off the fire alarms. And he told him, he goes, this is your guys' fault. I told you that if you did a physical challenge, my goal is to kill you.
Yeah.
I don't mind if you drop dead. That's how you're going to have to do to beat me. Like, but what he once said something great. He said, when I have a left-wing person on, I get accused of being a liberal.
Yeah.
When I have a right-wing person, I get accused of being conservative. He goes, I guess I'm doing something right when both sides accuse me of the other.
Yeah, and his numbers are staggering. Like, they were talking about the Elon Musk video, and that's got like 22 million views.
Elon and Joey, people like to bring that up.
Yeah.
Now it's a verb or an adjective, whatever that is. They say, I don't want to be Elon on your episode.
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't know, man. He goes, the stock dropped, but then it rebounded four times over.
Yeah. It was fine.
So
the other thing I heard reading it, they said that the most interesting, one of his better episodes with Kevin Hart, because Kevin Hart is just like
one.
Him.
Yeah. No, and, watch that documentary.
Okay. Kevin
Hart. It's worth it. On
is that
Netflix.
A documentary?
Yeah.
I thought it was a stand-up.
No, there's the newest one is Don't Fuck This Up.
Yeah.
It's like six episodes, and they're about 20 minutes each.
Because he's the same type of guy. Like, he's one of those guys that gets up and just does something all day long until
the only
he hits
difference
the
between him and Joe is Kevin Hart really makes it. Joe doesn't really, and this is not me defending him or saying I love him. He doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart, Joe doesn't really react emotionally to a lot of things.
Yeah.
He tries to step back and look at it from all angles before he even talk about it.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart reacts emotionally to things.
Yeah.
And on that show, it's when during the filming of that documentary was him finding out he was getting the host Oscars.
Oh, okay.
And then
losing
it.
Yeah.
And he reacted badly. All the blowback was essentially his fault, and he admits it. And then he has like he's got the Red Solo Cup crew, the Red Cup crew.
Okay.
And it's his best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them when he had the cheating on his wife thing scandal.
Yeah, that just died. Never happened?
Because it wasn't true.
Yeah.
One of his best friends and one of his crew members set him up.
That's fucked up.
And tried, and so he kind of, during the course of this, you find out that guy, he's suing that guy.
No shit.
He won't even talk about it.
Hmm.
Well, but on the flight, he's stressed from the Oscar thing. He's stressed from the wife thing. And he's talking to his trainer on the flight, and they're drinking shots and playing cards.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he's a prick. He goes, tell me this. If you didn't know me, would you be rich? And the guy's like, would you be rich if you didn't know me? He's like, yeah. He goes, do you even own a house? And
Kevin Hart's like going, like berating somebody?
And it's his trainer. His trainer almost whoops his ass.
Yeah.
Like, they have to separate him to where the police are there when they land.
No shit.
And then Kevin, he sends out a text and calls everybody and says, hey, I'm super stressed from everything. What I did was wrong. And they make up, but
that's cool.
That's what the coolest thing about that documentary is, how many times he fucks up and how much he personally owns up to it.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, like, it's one thing to just never say you're sorry. So, like, that's the fact that you can admit that you're wrong is.
But you are right. And even Joe Rogan says that he can't keep Kevin Hart's schedule. So Kevin Hart's schedule, you get an idea on that.
Yeah.
It's worth watching. That's like a 4 out of 5 little thing.
It's well worth.
And you could watch me and Missy like watch all 6 in a row, and it's only like 3 hours.
Okay.
Because they're short.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was something. I mean, and what's crazy is he buys all his buddies like retro sports cards in the last episode, like souped up, like resto mods.
Sports cars or cards?
Cars, okay. Sorry. Like, but classic cars that are souped up.
Yep.
That's what, and he bought one for himself, though they don't show it, but that's the one he wrecked and almost died in.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. A classic CUDA.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, you brought up the fighting, and I thought, I read that article on Joe Rogan, and I was like, man,
Let the record show you brought up the fighting.
Oh, I did, Bruce. I mean, yeah, I did. Now I have to throw some Joe Rogan podcasts on. I'm going to give him a shot.
So, you're going to like it, because, again, he's more in the middle than even we are.
It wasn't.
It's just so weird. He's found this amazing spot.
Yeah.
With podcasting, with fighting, with stand-up.
Yeah.
And me and Missy went and saw him in stand-up. It was great.
Was it good?
Yeah. And
I've never watched a stand-up.
We're going to go see Bert Kreischer in April.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And
man, I want to go to a stand-up. I haven't been to stand-up since New York.
Yeah. And you saw, like, you know, I would love to go out to L.A. and go to the Comedy Store.
Oh, that'd be great.
Where you see 22 of the greatest comics in the world for $12, $15.
Yeah, I mean, New York was super cheap. Nobody super particular. Right? David Tell was there before us.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you got to get there and just get lucky.
Yeah, you just kind of hang out.
Yeah.
The guy that did perform, he ended up getting a Netflix special.
Yeah, you looked him up when on our show. And
he was pretty good.
Yeah.
He was funny.
Well, I don't know. You brought up that Kevin Hart. I forgot we had watched that. Man, I don't know if there's anything else or anything big that we've watched or talked about.
Did you finish The Witcher?
Yes. Yeah, I finished that before. I talked about it in solo. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
it's the closest thing to a seriously well-done D&D show that I'll ever get. It also is got, I don't think it's intentional, but it's got things that are just wacky enough that they're entertaining, even though they're a little stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a Xena warrior princess monster of the week
better
show.
Better done Xena. Yeah, it's a more seriously better budget Xena. The only problem I had, and I talked about this on that solo episode, is they should have done a better job with the timeline.
Yeah, it was.
It's tough.
I remember you talking about that. Not until the third episode, I kind of started wondering, and then the fourth episode, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I had to stop and Google
when
shit.
The city,
yeah.
That's when you know. But even then, even if you know, it's still hard to tell because it's really three distinct different timelines.
Yeah, they're following like three different characters the whole time, and I'm like, when the fuck is. Apparently, season two, they're not going to do that.
Yeah, they're gonna dial it back a little. What do you think? My favorite character was Yennefer.
Yeah, she was awesome.
Yeah, hot.
And also super hot.
Smoking hot.
And she's probably the best actor on the show. Like, Henry Cavill's cool, but he's not a great actor.
They're not asking a lot of
him. Yeah, just be big and grunt.
Brooding. Yeah, be Batman, only with a sword.
Yeah,
her story was.
Yeah, it was really interesting. The kid seems cool. Like, that story looks.
Hers was the most boring part of it.
But her grandma was a pretty interesting character, I thought.
And that was the problem with
that
the timeline.
That took me off, too, yeah.
The grandma. Like, no, she's not her mom.
Yeah.
She's her grandma.
Yeah. Like, they look the same age. Like, her and her daughter look the exact same. It was. I enjoyed it.
It makes me want to. I don't know if I'm going to read the comics. I'm definitely not going to dive into the game, but I thought about maybe getting the first book that they're all based
dude,
on.
Dude, I tried.
Not easy
so
to do.
So it's translated from like Dutch or something?
Ah.
And yeah, they're Spanish. I don't know what it...
I doubt it's Spanish.
I don't think it's Spanish. It's a European book in the first place.
Yeah.
And I tried listening to the audio version of it at the gym, and it's not great.
Not so much, huh?
I don't know if it's a translation thing. If
I
maybe,
hear the game's great.
I heard the game is a lot of fun. There's a couple comic books on Hoopla that I was thinking about maybe reading.
The covers
that.
Make you want to read them because they're Mike Mignola covers.
Yeah,
I also recently read that Mignola's got a new Frankenstein miniseries out.
Oh, really?
From Dark Horse.
Okay.
And at first glance, it was like, oh, he's doing a Frankenstein miniseries. But it actually is fleshing out more parts of the Mignola-verse.
Oh, okay.
That, and nobody knew it was going to.
That's cool.
I want to check that out.
Yeah, do you ever read, Black Hammer?
I loved the first 12 or 18 I read, but I know they're all, there's a lot more out.
Yeah, and so, they have like weird... He's got his own like Black Hammer universe with all these different spinoffs and stuff. Yeah. It's great.
And I love so wherever I left off, I still don't know what they're trapped in.
Yeah. I can't remember now.
Which, and if you know, don't tell me.
I don't
me,
know.
So
I don't know yet
it
either. It's not resolved yet.
Yeah.
But the universe itself is really interesting.
I told you I was caught up on all the trades that are available for the JLA. The current run of JLA that just came to an end. I forget who wrote it.
Is it Bendis?
Is it Bendis?
I don't know.
I don't know. Look on who.
I don't do a lot of
It involved,
DC.
It involved a lot with the breaking of the Source Wall and a lot of Perpetua and the Omni Titans and things like that. And I really, really, really wanted to like it. The only real cool thing that... there it is right there.
It is Scott Snyder.
Scott Snyder's run. Okay, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The coolest thing I like, and I like, because I know your biggest complaint about why you don't read Superman is because he's too powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But people, when they write him, even in some really good stories, with the exception of All-Star Superman, which is still the best, they always seem to forget how powerful he is. So what I like, there's this part where there's this character called the World Forger, and he's the brother to the Monitor and Anti-Monitor. They're three. They're the sons of Perpetua. It's a long thing.
Yep.
But the World Forger is like super powerful. Like he literally builds worlds with his hammer and his anvil. Well, he traps Superman, and he convinces Batman to be on his side. And Batman never really says he's wrong, but Batman ends up, spoiler alert, Batman says, you are right, but you didn't think of one option. We'd do this together always with the JLA.
Yeah.
And one of the other problems I have with is they beat you over the world with justice. It's all about justice, the balance of justice. It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's too much leaning into the name.
Okay.
But Superman is trapped on a planet where they give him enough substance to live, but there's no sun.
Okay.
So the more he tries to escape, the more energy he's burning. And essentially, he just keeps pushing himself, and the more he pushes himself, the closer he is to dying. Well, he gets almost to death, and he sees a bright light, and it's a sun. So he makes it to it and reforms him, but what he sees is Batman left him a trail of suns.
Wow.
Like 30 suns to get back to where they are.
How'd they do that?
The World Forger makes these worlds.
Oh, okay.
So he flies through every one of them.
Oh, okay.
To get, and he KOs the world on one punch.
That's awesome.
Because he's all hopped up on the sun. Yeah. But I thought it was cool because you see him getting faster and faster and faster and faster as he flies through, and he hits him, and it instantly destroys his forge and him. And
oh, that's cool.
He's like, yeah. it was like one of those moments where, he's Superman.
Something I noticed about DC and Marvel that's slightly different. DC doesn't allow their artists to carry their own style of drawing, it feels like. Like, almost all DC comics have the same style of art. Well, like, have you noticed that before?
No, I don't agree with you, but I do agree with you.
I'm not saying I'm right. It's an observation I've noticed, and I've never seen like a hyper stylized like Robbie Rodriguez type stuff or anything like that.
Well, Marvel doesn't really have those either.
That's not true. Like,
they don't have Robbie Rodriguez.
No, they don't. But like, they do. Like, I forget who was doing the X-Men run before they redid it, and it was kind of more cartoonish and stuff.
Well,
like DC almost does. They don't.
So you had
Spider-Man's kind of cartoonish.
Well, you had Francis Manpool, who had I think that's how you pronounce his name, who came from DC.
Mm-hmm.
You had Jim Lee, who came from DC first. You had actually Todd McFarlane, who came from DC. They usually get a living in DC and then go back over to
do their own thing.
You also had Greg Capullo and on Batman with Scott Snyder, which was an amazing run with the Court of Owls and stuff.
And I'm not saying that the art isn't good. I'm just saying like the characters are more realistic, I guess I would say. They don't like that. It doesn't seem like DC artists ever get the chance to like use their own style.
See, I think you're looking at it wrong. I think DC's picking the artists they want. Artists always get a chance to do their own style.
Like for example, like I'm reading Doctor Strange by Jason Aaron right now, and Chris Baccio is the artist, and it's very cartoonish.
Yeah, so he's been around a long time.
Yeah,
and
but you never see stuff like that. I don't feel like I don't read a lot of DC, so I could be 100% wrong. I'm not saying that I'm not making an argument.
Look at Sean Murphy.
Making an observation.
Sean Murphy may be the most stylized guy in DC. Has did White Knight. He's awesome. He did that Mark Miller Chrononauts thing that we both
Yeah,
liked.
No, I love his art. Yeah, is spectacular.
I mean, I think it's just
draws a sharp chin.
You're seeing people that are a little more animated style with it, but they are also in DC. For instance, Umberto Ramos started in DC with Impulse, and Francis Manpool, like I said, he started in DC.
Yeah.
It's not like they're just, I mean, guys get big and they go wherever pays them the most.
Yeah, it's always been a thing that I just kind of noticed the last couple times I've read different DC books. Like the characters always look more realistic and less comic-y than they do like on the Marvel side. Like sometimes, like in this Doctor Strange book, the drawings are kind of raw looking. And everything's like super polished
on
the DC side.
I love Chris Baccio, or however you say his name. Mm-hmm. And I've always loved him. He did a book, I can't think of it off the top of my head, his own writer-artist book that he owned himself for a while. But I tell you what, he's one of those guys where he needs an editor saying, dude, you got to reel it in a little bit.
Yeah.
Sometimes he'll get too crazy.
Yeah.
And
it's just an observation that I assumed you would push back because you read more DC than I do.
Well, I'm pushing back the way you worded it because I don't think that they don't allow the I think they allow people to do what they want. I think it's just people they pick stuff.
That's what I'm saying. I think they pick artists.
Here's the current artist on Young Justice, and he's awesome.
Oh, see, that looks a little more cartoony.
Yeah.
It is very good, and I just, you don't really see a lot of that from, at least in the Batmans and the Supermans.
And you can read that in the current Hoopla has that.
Okay.
It's worth reading.
Okay.
It's worth reading. You don't have to know much about Young Justice to enjoy it. It's just fun.
Yeah. I gave The Immortal Hulk the first run a shot.
I loved it.
Love it seems strong to me.
Everybody
really liked it, and I don't really get it. It's an interesting take on the Hulk, like the monster. It was a fun take.
I'll see where it's going. But again, Hulk is also that Superman. You got to find a way to tell a story without focusing on the fact that he could break the world in half.
There's one that I just got done reading called Bitterroot. It's a solid one. You should check it out. It's set in the 20s, and it's a black family of monster hunters.
And, you told me about that. Yeah.
And it's got a lot of magic, and it's got a lot of fun elements. It's early, and I think it's already gotten picked up for a movie. But
I just started Warren Ellis's Moon Knight.
Okay.
I'll see how I like that.
I think he only did 6 issues.
Yeah.
And then somebody else took over, and it was pretty good. Warren Ellis is very Warren Ellis.
Yeah, he's Warren Ellis.
And then the next guy made it a pretty good run on it, too. I think he did 12 more issues of it.
Well, we've been going over an hour, so we can stop whenever
we
want. But
read The Prince of Cats, though.
I don't know. Let's talk real quick. Let's hit on a couple of quick hits of things that might be coming up that we're looking forward to. I know I don't think we've talked about it on this. I think I did it by myself, but Lock and Key.
Yeah, I watched the trailer after I listened to the episode, and I'm excited, and I started reading that comic, too. The show doesn't seem as dark as the comic.
Yeah, and they're making it more of a kid.
Yeah.
Like, this was, I mean, don't get me wrong, the book's a kid, but they're making it more of like a group of kid story, and they also seem to be, like, combining a bunch of different ones into one season.
Yeah, because isn't, like,
each book is a single story about a different kid.
Different family. Or a different key?
Different key.
Is it the same family all the time?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm in the first one, and I'm liking it so far.
Yeah, and you could have, I thought it would have been a great choice to do that as your series. Mm-hmm. You could do it. I mean, they talk about multiple keys, so yeah. Regardless, it looks cool.
Okay.
And I'm on board with it. What do you got? You got Umbrella Academy second one coming
out.
Did
you watch the first season?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't great, but it wasn't. You know what? I liked it more before The Boys came out, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was like, well, Umbrella Academy's awesome. And then I watched The Boys and I was like, well, Boys is really awesome.
It's weird because, like, I love the Umbrella Academy books
better.
And the show I didn't care for that much. It was okay. I'll watch the next season.
I recently read Hotel Oblivion, by the way.
What's that?
The third Umbrella Academy story.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't gotten that one yet. But
it's on Hoopla.
Yep. I know. It's on my list.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Everything.
In fact, the fourth one should be great.
Yeah.
Because of everything they set up from the first three, it was like leading to at the end of Hotel Oblivion.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm excited.
I didn't care for that. And that's funny, though, because the Boys TV show I absolutely loved, but I didn't care for the comic book at all.
I liked the comic, but I could see why you didn't. I would, yeah. If somebody comes up and tells me they love the Boys, I'm like, awesome, me too. And if they come up and say I hate the Boys, I'd say, I get it.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about it, I just couldn't get into it. I didn't like the lead character. Like, I like Carl Urban.
Oh, yeah.
In the show. Yeah. And then the guy in the comic, like the lead character in the comic, I just don't like him. He's an asshole. You know?
Yeah, I could see that. And, Carl Urban is awesome in that, by the way.
He's made for the role.
Yeah. Is he one of the more underrated guys out there?
I think so.
I mean, he's Scotty with the great act. I'm sorry, Bones with an awesome accent in the Star Trek movies.
Yeah.
He's
in the Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. He's in. He was in the original. Oh, speaking of, he's in the original Doom movie with The Rock. And I watched.
Oh yeah.
And I watched the sequel that's on Netflix right now.
Is it good?
If you're at home with the kids by yourself,
okay.
And they're off doing their own thing, or you just need some marshmallow fluff to fill you up, it's worth watching.
Oh,
it's not great.
Yeah.
But it's not awful.
Okay. Speaking of not great, not awful, are you done with Carl Urban?
Yeah, no. He's just a super.
He's Judge Dredd.
I thought it was a fun Judge Dredd. That Dredd needs a sequel.
Yeah, it does.
That was on my list of underrated movies.
It's been in the pre-production hell.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it made enough money to get
greenlit.
That movie
was so good. I've watched it probably six times.
And isn't the lady in it? Isn't that Cersei?
Yes, it is.
So.
Yeah, it is.
It was great though. But I watched Brightburn. We can wrap it up after this. Did you watch that yet?
I have not watched it yet. I heard it's not great.
It's not.
Okay.
It's interesting, and the ending is pretty interesting, and it made me want a sequel, because it's basically, it's not ruining anything, but it's basically they're setting up a Justice League Dark universe.
Okay.
Because, like, at the end, there's, like, a conspiracy theorist kind of Alex Jones
type. Sorry, an Injustice Gang universe, you say. Because Justice League Dark's actually a movie we may be getting.
That's never going to happen, but yeah.
But still, I mean, that's
an Injustice,
magic.
Like,
yeah.
Where Superman's a bad guy.
Gang,
and I watched the...
Or Crime Syndicate, would be the name.
Yeah. And I watched that cartoon. It's a pretty good cartoon.
It wasn't bad. What was the superhero movie that had Michael B. Jordan and all of them in it? What was
Fantastic Four?
No.
Oh, Chronicle.
Is that? I mean, to me, when Brightburn came out, it seemed like it was like kind of like a more of a Chronicle take, like a realistic take.
No, it's not.
It's not. I know it's a bad Superman.
It's just bad Superman.
But you know what I mean. Chronicle was superheroes, but they were. It was very dark.
Yeah.
That's an underrated movie.
It is an underrated. I really enjoyed Chronicle. No, Brightburn, it's just not that great. It's literally just an evil Superman. Like, he's a shitty kid who... But the weird twist on it was he's a normal kid, but his
What'd
his
you watch
ship,
it on?
It's on Stars.
I'll have to watch that.
His ship starts talking to him, and it, like, flips a switch in his head, and then he becomes a badass. But then at the end they set up like an evil Aquaman and an evil Wonder Woman.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that'd be kind of worth seeing if they greenlight it, but I don't think it did well enough to where they're going to do another one.
I thought it did good, but it didn't have a massive budget.
I mean, whatever. It's worth watching though if you want something to not
care
about.
Let's go ahead and officially, have we thrown it to Missy, or do we need anything else on this?
No, I think I'm done.
This was a massively, I feel like I was thinking about this. I feel like We had an episode a few weeks back where you, or a few episodes back where you and I did this little stupid sketch about where we were talking from the perspective of the tumbleweed going across.
Yeah.
I feel like we probably need to do more of that kind of stuff.
I didn't bring anything.
Our regular episodes. Yeah. This one was the first time in a while it was just you and I.
Yeah.
So I feel like we should tell people, whether it's our pop culture comic pod or just the regular episode, if it's just you and I, spoiler warning, we're going to go geeky.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about movies and comic books and things like that. So.
I know. I did technically bring a Star Wars thing, and then we moved past it, and I didn't want to go back. But I was like, I'll bring it up another episode.
Well, at least what was it?
It was just Colin Trevor's original story where before they fired him. It was massively different than J.J. Abrams.
I read
the synopsis.
Also, I didn't watch it, but I mean, meaning to click on the things. I guess Adam Driver brought back his character.
Yeah, I
want to get it too. So go home and what were you going to watch? Go home and watch
John Wick. I'm going to try to watch John Wick 3.
Yeah, watch John Wick 3.
Yeah.
Maybe still in a movie that is so over the top with action.
Uh-huh.
Still the greatest world building those movies ever got. And the best thing I can say about this one, what makes it so good, is the plot twist I did not see coming.
Okay.
Sweet. Give it a go. And then no one here to say bye but you. So
hold on to your butts, people.
And we're playing the music.